The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, and Kelly, Shams Charania reporting that Buck star Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to play tonight. He will return to the lineup in Game 4 versus the Heat tonight, barring any setbacks. Antetokounmpo missed Game 2 and 3 with a lower back contusion. Hasn't played since the first four minutes, of Game 1. Was it 4 minutes in or 8 minutes in? Anyway, it was the first quarter of Game number 1. The Heat obviously leading that best of seven series 2-1. So Kelly, by the way, he said he was unloading. I believe is the way he said the word unloaded earlier.
Just did.
Just unloaded some more?
More.
On the Bucks?
Yeah. Was already in at 5, 6.5, I'm in. Mostly sevens out there right now.
We don't have official word on Jimmy Butler yet.
Stomp this team. I hope he doesn't go out there. Should I do my Giannis impression again?
Please.
I kind of need a wider shot of the desk, but the hopefully he just doesn't look like what he looked like when he came back in Game 1,
because
that
like
was
80,
like the
80 years
hey,
old.
I'm running up and down the court. I just can't move my spinal cord at all. Like, this is how you can play basketball, right?
Oh, man.
Hopefully we don't get that, but as long as he is remotely healthy, and man, if there is anything wrong with Jimmy Butler, God bless you, Miami. I don't know how you do anything in this series.
I mean, most of that was built into the line already, though. We see a slight tick up here for the Bucks to 7 in some spots, but it was built in pretty much that Giannis was expected to go. I mean, I think the surprise would have been, again, another surprise if he had not played. We got surprised once or twice already, though, so that was a possibility, but he will go. He is a go tonight. Bucks 7-point favorites on the road against the Heat. The total's at 217. Bucks trying to even up that best of seven series and return the earth to its axis, if you will. In that first round.
Yeah, absolutely. My head will literally be spinning if the Heat win this series somehow.
Well, because remember, the Heat in the 7-8 game got destroyed by the Hawks. And then in the 9-10 game, the game that was for the 8th seed, they were done in that game. Like, the Bulls were going to win that game going away, and then all of a sudden 15-1 end. A 15-1 spurt at the end of the game, and the Heat not only turned it around but covered. And now they're up on the Bucks 2-1. So from the dead, here we are. Let's talk some hockey. What a Stanley Cup postseason it has been. Andy McNeil joins us from Edmonton, Alberta, home of the Oilers, who, by the way, goodness gracious. What do you think the collective – first of all, hello, Andy. How are you, sir, by the way? You good?
I'm doing good, Gil. How are you?
I'm good. What do you think the collective – if you could pull the collective Edmonton psyche yesterday – when they were down 3-0 to the Kings and facing a 3-1 deficit in that series down the barrel before they scored 3 themselves and righted the ship in this game, ended up winning in overtime and knotting this series up here. Like, what do you think they would have said at that moment?
Probably something along the lines of, where the hell's Connor McDavis? You know, like, I don't know.
Connor McDavis.
He had that 2-goal performance in game number 3, but you know, for the most part, has been pretty quiet as far as, you know, getting on the score sheet. Much different from what we saw in last year's playoff when McDavid was averaging 2 points a game and, you know, putting up Gretzky, Lemieux-like numbers in the postseason. So a little bit of a shift there. But Leon Draisaitl, he's come up big. I'm sure the Oilers fans are happy about that. He cannot come up big again. In game 4, and of course Zach Hyman gets the OT winner, and I'm sure Edmonton's feeling a little bit better now. I mean, they're going back into this one now a best of 3, and they've got 2 out of the 3 games at home, in which they'll be pretty big favorites. So the Oilers are in good shape. I've got them winning the series 64% of the time, so a little bit down from where I was pre-series, because, you know, there is a lot of the sample size is pretty small here, and we've only got 3 games. A lot can happen. A lot of luck, our luck can really mess things up. But the Oilers have been in the driver's seat for most of this series, but they've just, you know, had some bad habits creep in. And LA played arguably their best game of the series in game number 4, and I mean, unsurprisingly, I guess, because they got Kevin Fiala back, who hadn't played a game yet in the playoffs. So the tone of the series has kind of shifted, but I think the Oilers will still win this one more often than not.
Okay. And then your Bruins, you're feeling a little better about them, I would imagine, since last we spoke. 3-1 up in that best of 7.
I'm feeling pretty good about the Bruins. I mean, they've seemed to find their game here, and of course they're doing it all with without Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. So their number one and number two center out of the lineup for, you know, Bergeron has missed all of this series. David Krejci has missed three games. So, I mean, pretty impressive. Bergeron likely to be in the lineup in game five, although the Bruins can probably get this done without him now, given that they're up 3-1 in the series. But yeah, no, big win for the Boston Bruins in game number four. And, you know, just, I mean, they've got to feel good about them themselves heading into the next game and, you know, likely into the next round, given that their depth has really come through and they've been able to shine. And we haven't seen this this team at their, you know, the sum of all their parts yet.
Where's Connor McDavid? I didn't know Edmonton was the Catskills of Canada all of a sudden. That's interesting. All right, before we get to tonight's games, because I know these are all tightly lined games tonight, you do have a play on a game tomorrow night in the Wild series.
Yeah, I do. I'm on the Minnesota Wild at +125 or better on the money line. I think, you know, Dallas really kind of stole momentum back last night in the series, and that was all thanks to Jake Oettinger early, who was just outstanding. But Filip Gustavsson's been really good this series. While the scores have been, you know, kind of lopsided at times, it's been tightly contested. And, you know, Minnesota, still some lineup questions. Not sure if Joel Eriksson Ek is going to be back in for game five. He was in game three, first game of the series. Then he missed game four. So, little bit of a question mark there, but you know, I think Dean Evason, the Wild head coach, he made a big mistake in game two starting Marc-Andre Fleury. He's obviously corrected that. I think if assuming he knows better now, Fleury probably won't play another game in this series. So it'll be Filip Gustavsson, hopefully. And I think there's value on the Wild because this series has just been, you know, very close and the gap between these two teams isn't big at all.
All right. So play on the Wild tomorrow night, game five of that best of seven with the Stars. Okay, about tonight's four games. These are all game fours, and these are all coming off, in most cases, great games on Saturday. I mean, three of those four on Saturday went to overtime. One went to double OT. So I just want to get your overall thoughts, and maybe we'll find a prop bet or something in here. Beginning with New Jersey and the Rangers tonight, it's game four in New York. No team has won on their home ice yet. Devils got off the schneid with an overtime goal from Dougie Hamilton on a Saturday. The Rangers about a -149 favorite here in this one. Any thoughts on this game or this series?
Well, I'm still leaning toward the Devils, even though they were, you know, outclassed in games one and two at home against the Rangers. Clearly a big pushback in game three, you know, able to get back in this series. It still seems like they're, you know, outmatched though. And the Rangers really haven't started to put it all together. They've put it together on the power play, but they've still got some big stars on that team that really haven't come alive yet. So that's kind of scary, but I certainly wouldn't be betting +130 when, you know, there's +140 out there kind of becoming widely available, at this point. I'm going to hold off on the Devils for now. You know, I'm gonna need some coaxing. So we'll see if this line gets ticked up a little bit higher, and then maybe I'll get in on the Devils for tonight.
All right, second game tonight chronologically, the Leafs and the Lightning. Leafs took a 2-1 lead in this series, overtime goal from Morgan Riley. That's after Ryan O'Reilly tied it up with a minute left in regulation. The Leafs, obviously, let's say the streaks again, haven't won a cup since 67. That's 1967. Nor have they won a series since 2004. Two games away. This is a coin flip tonight on the line. Is there a bet, a prop bet perhaps, in this game?
Yeah, I've got a prop bet, but just a general thought about the Leafs. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people talked about how they probably didn't deserve to win that game, and they didn't. They were outplayed by the Lightning, particularly in overtime. Things were tilted really heavily in Tampa Bay's direction. But, I mean, you go back through the years, you won't find a Stanley Cup champion that didn't, you know, win a game that they probably didn't deserve to win throughout their playoff run. So, I mean, in order to go all the way, you're going to have things go your way like that sometimes. So that's a positive in Toronto's direction, and they can play better tonight. They didn't play very well in that game, and they can put forth a better effort tonight. But one player that's been, you know, outstanding and really against the Lightning all season long is William Nylander. He's gone over 3.5 shots in 5 out of 6 games so far, including the regular season against the Lightning. He's averaging 5.3 shots per game against the Lightning. He's attempting close to 8 shots per game and, you know, hitting target more than 50% of the time, close to 75% of the time. So I like William Nylander William Nylander to go over his shot prop, 3.5 shots at even money tonight against the Lightning.
All right, give me 30 seconds on each of these. Like the Leafs and the Lightning, who are -110s on each side tonight, game four. So, too, is the Knights-Jets game four. Knights won it in double overtime in the second overtime on Saturday. Michael Amadio, after the Jets scored three times to tie that game up and force the overtime, including Adam Lowry putting the biscuit in the basket with 22 seconds left in regulation. Knights are up 2-1. It's a coin flip tonight. Any thoughts here?
So I said I was going to continue to bet Winnipeg in this series until they gave me a reason not to. I think they sort of gave me a reason not to in that game. Terrible start. Really, you know, obviously a big positive seeing them push back and tie the game and have a chance to win it. So I don't think they're totally out of it by any means. But the big thing is that Josh Morrissey, their best defenseman, arguably, you know, one of their best, or not arguably, one of their best players, out for the series. He was out in the first period. They're not going to have him for the rest of the series. And then Nikolaj Ehlers, as far as I know, still has not been cleared to play in this upcoming game, but they're hopeful that he will be. So that could swing things a little bit. But I'm not interested in backing the Jets at -110, which is the same price that I backed them in last game, given the changes to the lineup and, you know, kind of how the series has shifted momentum wise. And I know you're going to ask about Colorado and Seattle, and I'll kind of save you the time here. I think the Avalanche are probably going to win this series, but man, you look at their lineup, they're missing Gabriel Landeskog and Valerie Nichushkin, the guys who were 2 and 3 in scoring last year for Colorado in the playoffs. So big loss for them heading into game five.
Kraken have given them all they can handle, that's for sure. Thank you, Andy. Enjoy the games. Coming back with Tom Byrne from Mad Dog Radio on the NBA playoffs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL draft starts this Thursday. What? No one told me. VSiN has everything you need to bet it smarter at VSiN.com/draft. Every NFL draft is different. We have 5 tips for betting the NFL draft. Check out Matt Heumann's mock draft for the first round. And former NFL GM Michael Lombardi gives his draft analysis. VSiN.com/draft is updated daily, so you get the latest position predictions, over under, best bets from the VSiN experts. Check it out today at VSiN.com/draft. Cannot wait to do this podcast with Drew and Matt after the show. Oh, boy. Nothing but draft speculation and rumors and innuendo.
Should be good stuff. The special here at VSiN today, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Yep.
Can't wait for that. JVT and Matt.
Check it out.
What was that? What just happened?
What's it all about?
I don't know what's happening, ladies and gentlemen.
Beastie Boys.
he's back from vacation. He's unhinged. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from Richard Goldstein. Oh, he's lamenting his bad beat on the Nuggets last night. He goes, another Joker missing the free throw, he says, to potentially win. Had Minnesota on a big parlay and in-game Denver money line, +2.5, +3.5, had all sides winning, but then he misses the free throw and the Stars screwed me. Oh, yeah, it's the NBA. Eduardo says Caserio, talk about the Texans GM, said last week he's open to trading in division. Wilson to go fourth, 10-1? Question mark. So he's suggesting that the Texans would trade with the Colts. The Colts would covet, I guess, Levis so much that they would trade up to 2. And as I mentioned earlier, the Texans appear to like Wilson more than they like Anderson. 10-1. I mean, I think that's probably accurately priced, I guess, is what I'm saying. So it's not a bet I would make. But here's the thing, Eduardo. Lean in for this. None of us knows a damn thing at this point. Would you agree with that assessment of this whole thing, Kelly, at this point? None of us.
Yeah, except for a couple things, yeah.
Except for a couple things which we think we know.
We think we know.
Can you imagine if the draft starts and they walk up there like, we're taking C.J. Stroud. Most ridiculous thing ever. C.J. Stroud, he could go 2, he could go 25th, we don't know.
I also feel like Anthony Richardson is the only guy we talked about for like a month and a half, and we haven't talked about him in like a week.
So he could go, right? There's a scenario where he goes 3rd. If someone covets a quarterback that much and quarterbacks go 1-2, someone could trade into 3. The Cardinals would be like, sure, you can have Anthony Richardson. And by the way, Seattle wouldn't want him at 5. They have Geno as a sort of bridge quarterback, if you will. And finally, this is Paulie. Why is it such importance for the Texans to go get a quarterback this draft? If I were the GM, I would really think next year's the year to draft one of 2 generational quarterbacks who would have been ahead of the rest of the current class. Why not go defense, get a difference maker, and wait? Paulie, I've said this many times. This is what everybody said last year about this crop. They said, oh, why should we draft a quarterback? We'll wait for this crop. And now you're suggesting Houston should do that for, I guess, the two you're talking about are Williams and May, Caleb Williams and Drake May. Yeah, first of all, to think you could absolutely make sure you can get in a position to draft either of these two guys, we've seen how that's gone awry. And secondly, do we know that they're better than these guys? We don't know. It's such an inexact science. And by the way, how do you tell your fan base
after they botched
that last game? How do you tell them, by the way, guys, we're punting on another season, just so you know.
Like, we're punting in April.
Oh, come on.
I think that's the bigger part. Like, you can't just keep pushing it off.
Kicking the can down the road. Tom Byrne joins us from Mad Dog Radio. Mad Dog Tonight, each and every night at 1. That's the number 1, Tom Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, on the Twitter machine. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. Admittedly, a little shook by the way that segment opened with Kelly attempted to rap old school. I'm not even sure what that was.
Tom, I don't know what happened either. Just between you and me. He's back from vacation. He's uncontrollable. I don't even know where to start. So let's start with tonight. These are two, obviously we have, so we have one series that ended up in a sweep. We got three possible gentlemen sweeps tomorrow night where the home team is sitting with a chance to knock them out in game fives. Tonight we have two series that are, I guess, essentially trying to get to where the Knicks are over the Clippers, which is to say have a 3-1 lead where you didn't start out with home court. The first of which is the Heat and the Bucks, but Giannis has just been announced in. The Bucks are 7-point road favorites. With Giannis in, are you willing to unload like Mr. Bidlin over here on the Bucks?
Not anymore, no. If he got them a little while ago for five and a half, sure. At seven, no, I'll wait. In fact, what I think could be the smartest play at this point, believe it or not, is waiting to hear whether or not Jimmy Butler is going to go with his glute and see if you can't get in on that just before the injury news breaks. If you could get seven and a half, I think you're getting a lot of value with Miami. I wouldn't expect them to win the game. Milwaukee will have desperation on their side. Now, that's a whole other conversation. The professionals, how big a deal is desperation? But, you know, you do have to assume that Milwaukee's going to win the game. And you guys, I'm sure, are up on the trend. I'm not a big trend guy either. I know you guys aren't. But this trend of just being able to pick winners, because winners are going to cover more times than not, only twice has that not been the case, is pretty incredible and hard to go against. But again, if you could get three possessions in the game, I actually think at this stage, considering where the number is, that'd be the smarter play.
All right, what about the Grizzlies and Lakers? Same situation. Ja went off in the fourth quarter in game three. Didn't matter in the end. Lakers trying to take a 3-1 lead in that best of seven series. They're favored by 4.5. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think that's a good number. 4.5, 5 is probably where it should be. Listen, this is going to be an interesting game, to say the least, because I think you could argue that it's a must-win for Memphis. They're not beating the L.A. Lakers three games in a row. John Morant's clearly, you know, banged up to an extent, but he showed us last game that I don't know that it matters. Now, they were a lot of garbage time points, but still, he was phenomenal, got it going. That's got to be a good sign. Dylan Brooks can't be worse than he's been. I know there's all this controversy, and now he's playing the victim role, all the narrative. These are the guys that drum up the narrative.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Kelly, think about this. Kelly could tell you he follows on a daily basis. I mean, Gil, listen, they're a team that's tried to convince us forever that we should hate them. John Morant's told us forever, oh, we're the villain, you know, nobody likes us. And I've always laughed. Who doesn't like Memphis? It's a little small market. They never won a damn thing. Like, the whole thing never made sense. But now they want to tell you it's just a narrative. Well, you guys created the narrative. It's probably more because of his history. Groin shot to Donovan Mitchell this year. Last year, broke Gary Payton II's elbow. Let's not forget about that. And so would I have kicked him out? Probably not. I tend to be more lenient. But long story short, you know, he can't be any less impactful than he was last game. I still like Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. But in L.A., Anthony Davis was bad in game two, but back to being spectacular games 1 and 3. Let's give Rob Flink a lot of credit. How good has Rui Hachimura been? I mean, they got 4 or 5 new faces in there that have all been impactful in some way or the other. I think I'm probably going to sit this one out, guys, for now. Maybe try to get involved live. I don't have a good feel against the number.
You're gonna sit out all three tomorrow night? We'll take them all as a batch because the Celtics, Nuggets, and Suns, well, the Nuggets just shy of a double-digit favorite at 9.5, but they're all prohibitive favorites in their potential closeout games. You touching any of those pre-flop tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a great question. Right now, no. Could I argue there's a little value on the T-Wolves? plus nine. Yeah, I could. But, again, I can't see them winning the game. Now, nine gives you a lot of cushion, though, right? And so I think that would be the game I'd be most interested in. I believe we talked about this a couple weeks ago. They're not your typical eight seed in that. They've got talent. Anthony Edwards got it going, obviously, last night. Karl-Anthony Towns have been disappointing, but we know he could light it up. Conley, Gobert. So they're not your typical eight. They should be able to at least, they got a little hope on their side now, keep this relatively close and within single digits. If I played a game, that'd likely be the answer. The Clippers aren't going to roll over and die, but you can't play that game. Yeah, tomorrow night's a little disappointing. Hopefully we'll get some competitive games, but you could envision three blowouts for sure.
By the way, I think DraftKings put up a potential, if the Suns and Nuggets do close out their respective series against the Clippers and the T-Wolves, that the Suns would be about a minus 150. I'm having trouble saying the exact number right now, but about a minus 150 series favorite. Do you think that's priced correctly?
No, I would like the Nuggets. I like the Nuggets to win the West. Listen, the Suns are incredibly talented. We understand that. But to ask these guys to get acclimated with each other's games against adversity in big spots in such a short period of time is asking a lot. Now they got a great gift. Kawhi Leonard can't play, whether it's the knee, whether it's the sister, who knows. Bottom line is he can't play. They also don't have Paul George. So I don't know what to make of this series win over the Clippers. I'm of the mindset that had Kawhi been able to play, they may have been able to win the series. And so I'm not saying they can't do it, but Denver, this narrative that the Nuggets don't have enough around Jokic, I'm not 100% sure I'm buying it. Bottom line is, look, Jamal Murray at times has looked like Bubble Murray. Michael Porter Jr. can get a shot at any time. Aaron Gordon, I mean, they've got guys who can play. I like Malone on the sideline. They're going to have home court. I talk about home court in the postseason, always beating more. This year it's worth about 5.9 points per one of the possessions. Now, granted, you got to knock that number down a little bit because the better team has more home games in theory, so keep that in mind. But that is a big deal, especially playing in altitude. Look at all the minutes these Phoenix Suns players are logging right now. I like Denver plus money.
All right, 30 seconds. The Kings are -1.5 in Game 5 Wednesday night. The Warriors are -180 series favorites. In your heart of hearts, Tom, tell me who wins this series. Do you have any idea?
Kings. I don't say it with a lot of conviction, but again, the Golden State Warriors, Gil, and you know this better than anybody, have won 11 games all season on the road. 11. They got two more chances to do so. I'm not putting any money on them to do it.
Yeah, and what is it? How many series in a row that they've won a road playoff game in? That streak also on the line as well. Tom, enjoy the games. Good luck with all your bets. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys. Good luck.
Tom Byrne from Mad Dog Radio. Mad Dog tonight, each and every night on Mad Dog Radio. Wes Reynolds on the other side. See if he's got any bets beyond golf. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Matt Brown, who's going to be on the show a little later on. What did Matt Brown have to say here? Matt Brown, who I'm doing the podcast with afterwards. He's also doing the special with JVT, the NFL draft special here at VSiN 2 p.m., 11 a.m. Eastern. He said, why does everyone get off the Schneid? And nobody ever gets on the Schneid. Seems Schneid is akin to torrential as a one-use word. Matt felt the need to tweet that out to us.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I was like, who said that? Which one of us said that?
I think I probably said it.
Okay. I mean, we probably say it all the time on the show.
It's a Chris Berman thing, off the Schneid.
I remember his torrential. He did stop us. We were talking about torrential rains on primetime action like years ago.
There's lots of words like that.
Yeah, oh, totally. You only use them for that.
Broad daylight. I know broad has other meanings, but broad daylight. You never broad as an adjective for anything else, right?
Well, we always used to bring up the it's only an old-fashioned Donnybrook.
You cannot have a modern-day Donnybrook.
You can't have a modern-day
because no one calls them that.
They're all old-fashioned.
They're all old-fashioned Donnybrooks. Richard Palma. This ad with Parles talking about mayonnaise and coffee is getting to Hey Einstein level. What?
I don't know. Parles has a
mayonnaise and coffee? What?
Yeah, so behind the scenes here, we don't listen to the commercials while we're in break because we're talking about other things. So you guys are getting stuff that I don't even know what's going on.
Bruce Dobig. And thanks to Wes, I had four of top five teams at the Nolens speed dating event yesterday. Would have been five if M makes the putt on 18. How did you and Matt do on that tournament, Zurich Classic?
I believe me and him were both running about 2-3. I don't know if Wes won or not. That's a bad being a bad podcast teammate right now.
Oh, bad podcast.
I don't know if he had Hardy and Riley, but we were all, like, all three of us circling that thing. So, yeah.
By the way, tennis, Iga Swiatek wins her 13th singles tournament of her career. She's 21 years old. She won her 13th this weekend, doing it in Stuttgart. You ever been to Stuttgart, Kelly?
No, I haven't been to Stuttgart, no.
Iga gets it done straight, so that's over Aryna Sabalenka. World number one versus world number two, and world number one said, get off my surface. By the way, French Open coming up late May. Iga, if you can still find her, minus 110, bet away. I got my Igas at minus 110. We have Barcelona this week coming up, men's and women's, and next week. So that's going to be a tournament that we'll have some bets in as well on clay. Clay has not been, it's been choppy, to say the least, from a day-to-day basis. Like, you have someone like Dusan Lajovic, who's probably not a name you know, but we had him early in rounds in his tournament this past week.
He'll just always let you down.
But he beat Djokovic. He ends up beating Rublev in the final. So there was a lot of outcomes where you could not have anticipated them coming. But Iga, you could have. So we'll keep with the tennis bets.
Nothing today?
Nothing today because they're in qualifiers.
Oh.
Yeah. Still haven't gotten to the main draw yet. At Barcelona, is it? Yeah. Are we in Barcelona?
No, Madrid.
Madrid, right. Yeah. Barcelona we just had on the men's side. Madrid. We're in España. Still. And then it goes to, what do we still have in front of us after Madrid? We have Rome, and then we have Paris. The clay court circuit.
So that's where they, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So they go Madrid, Rome, and then Paris.
Barcelona on the men's side, Rome, Madrid, Paris, yeah. You imagine just in your retirement, Kelly, just going to those cities and watching clay court tennis? What a life.
Oh, man, it'd be so nice.
So again, just getting back to the draft here for a second and prefacing it by saying this is the most uncertain I think we've been, at least in the arc of VSiN from 2017 on, before any draft, 3 days beforehand. And you, historically, these are the betting market moves now that tend to manifest, these late ones. So Will Levis going at number two, being the favorite to go number two, whether that's the Texans or via trade, I think you kind of have to read into that. Like, getting back to our initial premise, would you be that shocked if the Texans and the Patriots had some deal already? There's a lot of people who are saying, yes, I would be that shocked. I don't know that I would be if they had a deal already made, if you will.
No. I guess I'm more hung up on what I think the cost would be for the Patriots, more so than the whole Belichick thing of, like, he would never do something like this, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. 14 and Mac wouldn't get it done?
I think you gotta trade more than that. That's a big jump up. I mean, what, Mac Jones was not good last year.
He was not.
Who's excited to build their franchise around Mac Jones right now?
Not me. And just the notion, but the notion of the Stroud thing, right? From going from a minus 400 favorite to be the number one pick in the draft to now, again, on draft night. Let's just, again, walking through. Remember, Aaron Rodgers, probably the most famous, and I'm not comparing C.J. Stroud to Aaron Rodgers, but Rodgers is the most famous dropper of all quarterbacks in at least modern history. Thought, oh, is it going to be Alex Jones? Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers at number one? Aaron Rodgers ends up getting, what, 24th? Or what was he picked again? 24th by the Packers? And he was just in the room. Remember, he was in the room, and they just kept focusing on his face. Poor dude. Well, C.J. Stroud, nailed it. If you C.J. Stroud, okay, so he doesn't go number one. If you believe that Bryce Young's going number one, then if it's not number two, the Colts, again, they like Levis better than him. And then what happens? Do the Titans grab him? If they don't grab him at 11, how far could that dude drive? I mean, there's so much intrigue here. Again, the only things we think we know, and this is very little, that Bryce Young is going number one, we think, to the Carolina Panthers at one. We think we know that Seattle will absolutely not take Jalen Carter at five. So, but here's the thing. This is also another sort of nugget about, we were talking about Anthony Richardson. And could Anthony Richardson go three via trade? Could Anthony Richardson go five to the Seahawks? Again, one of the things that's rumored about the Seahawks is that they really lamented that they were high on Josh Allen when he was coming out, but they lament the fact that they didn't go out on the Russell Wilson thing earlier and draft Josh Allen. And so now Anthony Richardson, who's probably the closest comp to Josh Allen in terms of being a raw, unfinished product, that they wouldn't let that happen again if he was available at five.
Do we see, in your mind right now, do we see the four quarterbacks get drafted in the top 10?
No.
No.
Because I think the fourth of those drops out of the top 10, and the fourth might very well be CJ Stroud. So I think you could get three in the top five.
Just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Just don't get it.
Did y'all watch college football? I know I might be arrogant. I know.
I mean, he's got to have the highest floor, right? Of the four, he has to have the highest floor.
I know he got 18th percentile on that cognitive test, if you believe the leak. But did you see him play Georgia?
Yeah, he did.
So
pretty darn good.
I do think you could have three really quickly. And by the way, even 1, 2, 3. More likely 1, 2, 4, though. But I don't think four go top 10. But like let's talk about teams in the middle. What if you're Washington? Let's take the Washington football team. Not calling them that name that the new owner hopefully gets rid of. If you had C.J. Stroud available to you at 16, is that where Washington drafts? 16?
Mm, yep.
You wouldn't grab him there? You'd be like, how could this guy have fallen in our laps? Are we really going with Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett? Thank you very much.
We're like the Titans?
Well, that's why I said the Titans at 11. The Titans at 11 seems to me to be the dividing mark for someone like Stroud. Where it's like,
I mean, I know you just drafted someone, but he didn't look very good last year.
What about Bijan Robinson, who the talent assessment on him is probably the widest. Like, some people think he's generational when it comes to running back. Like, Saquon got drafted high. He's the next guy you should draft high, Bijan.
Yep.
So what about the rumors?
That's what I've heard the most of.
What about the rumors that the Eagles might, by the way, you hear these Derrick Henry rumors came and went about him going to the Eagles?
Yep. Well, he's been linked, Eagles, Cowboys, he's kind of been linked all over the place there.
But, like, every team's been linked to Bijan Robinson. Washington should take him if he's available too, right? Like, every team, it seems like, at some point has been linked to Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, Buffalo. We've heard a lot of Buffalo, Dallas with Bijan. I think he goes. I think Gibbs goes. I think they both go in the first round.
And you didn't bet it.
And I didn't.
You bet it now?
I freaking bet it. I still think I'm going to bet. I think I'm going to bet the over 1.5 running backs or Gibbs to go first round.
Hmm.
So
it's so up in the air. And again, we'll have Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, and Drew Dinsick on a numbers game on Wednesday to discuss at that point. But again, it's slim pickings right now because, like, I want to bet more stuff, but I'd be forcing at this point because I genuinely, I don't know. Will Anderson, I like your Will Anderson over 3.5 because that's the one thing where I think I also know that he's not going top three.
Yeah.
Which, again, Will Anderson, who's been coming out in the draft, I think, for the last three seasons now. Here he is finally coming out, and all of a sudden at the end, no one wants him at the top. We'll come back. Matt Brown joins us. More draft talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points so you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800 gambler. You know, Kelly, as I'm sitting here this morning, I'm thinking to myself, you know who I really want to weigh in on the Knicks-Cavs series? Fat Joe. What do you know? I look up and Fat Joe's on First Take. Boy, they read my mind.
I like his descriptor. Rapper, actor, New York City native, diehard Knicks fan.
Let's get, who do you think producer's like, let's get Fat Joe in here today and talk about this. You know what Fat Joe didn't do? He probably didn't make the mistake that I made last segment, though, Mr. Smarty Pants over here, where I was talking about how Aaron Rodgers dropped in that draft. I said it was, you know, it was a decision at number one between Aaron Rodgers and I said Alex Jones. Clearly, I meant Alex Smith. Alex Jones would have been an entirely different draft. My apologies on that.
Same guy.
Yeah, same thing. Oh, and by the way, and last thing before we get to Matt, which is I was saying earlier how Mark Jones and Doris Burke and then later Malika and then the crew, Mike Greenberg, Stephen A. And Jalen Rose just botched that whole Steph Curry timeout thing, right? They just botched it in every form. No follow-up, 5 minutes into the studio show, they finally got around to it. You know what else they botched real quick? And I don't know if you caught this, and I'm going to be delicate how I say this. Every time Jalen Brunson hit a three, maybe there were other Knicks who did this too, but every time Jalen Brunson hit a three yesterday, he made a gesture. And openly on the broadcast, was it Ian Eagle who did that? I can't remember who did that broadcast. They couldn't figure out what the gesture meant. Now, let me just say this for anybody watching. It was clear that it was an obscene gesture, but they kept ruminating out loud. They're like, what is the gesture? And then after the game, poor Lisa Salters, they got her to ask it, or maybe she decided to ask on her own. She literally asked Jalen Brunson and RJ Barrett standing there too, like, what is that you're doing after you made your three? And they're like, don't worry about it. Never mind. Like, it was so awkward. It was so, I don't know if anybody else caught that. Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. Matt Brown joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He would never do such a thing. Never an obscene gesture. He, of course, the co-host of VEASAN's The Handle. He's on his way in to talk draft with me and Drew Dinsick on the Beating the Book podcast. And, of course, do the special with JVT at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific right here at VEASAN. How you doing, Matt?
Let's talk some hockey, man. Let's do this. Oilers, Vezina. Like, you know, Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley. Let's do this. I'm ready.
Lord Stanley. All right, so let me just, we'll do this. We'll do the brief six-minute version, seven-minute version of the podcast, yeah. Which is, what do you think you know for sure? Let's start there.
I mean, I think we're pretty confident at this point at the number one pick. I think we are pretty confident at this point as to where we kind of believe two is going, but at the same time, I'm not willing to definitely hitch my wagon to Will Levis going two. I actually put in a small little hedge last night on CJ Stroud to still go number two overall because you're getting 5-1 on it now. I mean, like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Do one in five drafts the Texans not decide, or whoever decides to trade up to number two not take CJ Stroud? I mean, I get it. The test scores and the whatever. I mean, I get all the stuff, the coachability stuff that is and all that. But, I mean, you know, you listen to Daniel Jeremiah, who's pretty plugged in with all this, and they asked him about the potential fall, and he's like, I'm not sure there is going to be a potential fall. He's like, I think that people are taking some of these rumors and some of these narratives, and they're really, really pushing them and running with it. And he was saying he's not certain 100% that it's going to be this precipitous fall for CJ Stroud. So, I mean, at 5-1, I don't think it's like the craziest thing in the world for us to have a little piece of him to go two overall, whether it's the Texans or whether it's someone who decides to swap with the Texans.
I agree with you. In a rational world, like if this was a rational thing, which it is the opposite of rational, but if it was rational, okay, the Panthers take Bryce Young one, then absolutely the Texans, who need a quarterback, would take CJ Stroud at two. I'm with you. Right. I totally agree. Okay, let's play the rational game. If that continues, what do the Cardinals then do with number three?
So here becomes the point I'm sure that, you know, we will say on your podcast. I will beat people over the head with it on the show a little bit later. It like doesn't matter what we think. It's what is going to happen in that front office and stuff. And like for me, the cupboard is so bare for the Cardinals, and that team has legit no shot of doing anything next year. They're starting the season without Kyler Murray. If you start off 0-6 or 0-7, are you even going to bring him back at all? I mean, like I think they have a pretty decent chance to have the worst record in the NFL next year. And so why would you take a defensive player at three when you could trade out of there? And even if you just get an extra second, even if you get an extra third and a fourth or something like to kind of restock and reload, because you would still, by moving down, get one of the three best defensive players in the draft. And so I don't know why you would spend the third on a defensive player when you can still get one of the three if you trade down. So, I still am holding on to this thought that they're going to trade out of it. I have a ridiculously large position on Will Anderson over 3.5. Like, that was the very first of the bets that I started making as soon as the over-unders came out. Like, I hit that so many times I thought I was dead for the longest amount of time. So now I think I'm breathing a little life in there again. But, man, I don't know why you hold on to that pick when you can still get Anderson or Wilson or even Carter by moving down.
Oh, by the way, I think you're good on that Will Anderson, too. I mean, it looks good right now as well, going over 3.5, because he's a guy that appears to drop in any scenario. But then, okay, let's keep going with that. So then if they trade out, the team that trades in obviously is doing so for a quarterback, yes? And that
correct.
Quarterback would be who?
It's whoever second, being either Stroud or Levis. And I think that somebody I think it's a higher likelihood scenario that somebody would trade into that three spot to come get Stroud, because then it's, if you're a team,
right, we're losing.
You look and say, like, okay, I can deal with a score or whatever. You know, like, I can deal with this and get past this. I think it's somebody coming up to get Stroud there at three, but it's not out of the realm of possibility for Levis. I mean, remember, big body, big arm, all these things, more mobile than he even gets credit for. There's a lot of stuff to like about Levis, too, at least from an upside perspective.
So are you saying there's a scenario, though, still, that it could go 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks, all four picks?
I know I'm in the minority. I'm still of the camp that this thing could go 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks. I still truly believe that could be a real scenario.
I don't think it's an impossibility. I really don't.
I think there's a good chance.
I know people laugh at that, but I don't think it's an impossibility. Just for the scenario we just painted. Because if whoever trades into number go ahead, man.
Yeah. Well, it's like you mentioned it a couple segments ago, and it's like it keeps ringing true. Like, all these people keep going, well, why would Texans do this when there's these two quarterbacks next year? And it's like, well, one, there's only two that are surefire first-rounders next year. And two, that means you also have to ensure that you have one of the top two picks in the draft in order to put yourself. So we all thought Seattle was going to be terrible this year. Like it's not easy to tank. Like, if you can stumble into a couple of wins. Hell, the Texans did it this past year. They wouldn't even be worried about this right now if they hadn't won the last game of the season, which if they really and truly are going to pass on a quarterback because they didn't get Bryce Young, then it might be the most egregious win in NFL history.
Yes.
Like, I mean, like, if you wanted Bryce Young so incredibly bad and you stumbled into that win in Week 18, it might be the most egregious win, like, in recent memory at least. But anyway, the point goes back to the fact that it's not that easy to tank in the NFL. Like, it's just not. Teams are going to underachieve. Teams are going to overachieve. And
all right.
Now to get a quarterback, and you might not be in it next year.
All right, Matt, drive safely. We'll see you momentarily do the podcast.
All right.
Matt Brown, everybody, co-host of The Handle. By the way, I'll just add to what he's saying. He's saying, again, if they wanted Bryce Young that badly, that last win for the Texans last year against the Colts, which we talked about earlier, 4th and 12, 4th and 20, 2-point conversion with Lovie, might be the most egregious win in the history of the NFL. And I will add again, secondly, and not only that, they've checkmated themselves even into trading to number one to get him again, because they can't compound the problem by doing two stupid things, right? So they can't do that. It's just, it's amazing.
I don't. Can you not do that?
I can't.
I think if you're that sold, you can't.
You can't admit it.
I mean, I know how bad it looks, but
that would be amazing.
You know, it's what Felica texted us. Like, you could not let him coach that game. We were all talking about it possibly happening.
Yes.
And he did exactly what we were all talking about.
And he went for two.
That's
great. All right. Once again, after this show, we're about to get out of here. Drew Dinsick, Matt Brown, and I, the Beating the Book NFL Draft Special. We will go into it super deep. And then at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, pardon me, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here at VSiN, Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Brown, the NFL Draft Special today, right here on the network. So check that out as well. 3 days before what might be the most uncertain draft I can remember, or any of us can remember, in recent history. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.